praise you and we thank you for who you are in our lives individually, who you are in our life corporately as Greater Grace, who you are in the church universally throughout the world. Father, your work on this earth, your work in our lives. Praise you and thank you. And we do, again, we want to lift up these prayers that we've heard tonight, April and Barb and Ray Ray, Lord, who's been just battling a little sickness. I want to lift her up. We just praise you. Thank you. Use this vessel. Bless this portion tonight in Christ's name. Amen. So I have a little slideshow. I like to put a little slideshow together with the message. And the first slide is just the theme of the message tonight is a verse. And it's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And I want to look at this verse in two ways tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, as each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I'll just read that one more time. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So let's think about that a little bit tonight. We can say God has given us all a gift. And he then kind of challenges us, if you will, to take that gift and go and bestow it or give it or use it on other people, right? Like tonight we had Matt and his young, amazing, beautiful daughter, Anna, was on his side, and she has a gift, right? And she has a gift of singing, and it's a beautiful gift. And she blesses us as the body. On a Wednesday night, she comes up and she sings with her dad, and her worship brings us into the presence of God. It gets our hearts, our minds, our body, our spiritual man. It gets us ready to receive the word. And that's a gift. She has a gift and she uses it. Or Ron on the streets of Saratoga with his guitar. And it was so much fun. The craziest fun songs just all over the place. And it was just a blast. And he has a gift. His gift is singing and humor and playing that guitar. Just like Matt up here with the acoustic. I love acoustic guitar and the music and the worship. And it blesses us and it gets us ready to hear what God has for us. Well, I want to think about that in that every one of us in this room, God has given us something. He's given us various gifts and various talents. And then he kind of says, all right, take these things and go out into the world and share them. That's one way to look at this verse. Another way, when I got into the Greek, it's really interesting. When you get into the Greek on this verse, oh, I didn't write it down. Dope. That's so funny. I never do that. Dope. I can't say never anymore now. The other way to look at this is, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. It's speaking in the Greek a little bit about the grace of God on our lives. And it's saying that God has given his grace to each one of us, that he's put his grace on your life. You know, we deserve, if you will, the cross. We deserve the punishment that Jesus took for us. And then he says, now take that grace and minister the same to one another. I remember in Bible college, I took this Greek class. And when we're in class, the pastor got up and he spoke about grace and he spoke about judgment. In Matthew 7:2, it says, by the measure we judge, we're judged by. And he would say, well, if the measure I judge that we're judged by, I want to judge everybody with grace. Because then I will only be judged by grace. If God gives me grace and I go into the world and I just give everybody the grace of God and the love of God, then I'm just going to get more grace because that's what I received and that's what I'm giving and that's what I'm going to use to look at other people is like grace eyes. I want to look at people through the eyes of God and I want to receive so much grace that I just give people so much grace. So I came up with a little line for tonight, and it says, use your gifts and talents wisely. Use your gifts and talents wisely. If I was to title the message, that's what I would title it, is use your gifts and talents wisely. God has a plan for us, for each one of us, and he's given us so much, so many gifts, so many talents, etc., and then he wants us to go out and use them in other people's lives. Can we go to slide 2, Sarah? This is a painting. This painting is called The Heart of the Andes. And you can't see it very good here because I just went and ripped it off the internet. It's not very clear. But if you go look at the original of this, it's actually about 6 feet tall and 10 feet long. It was painted in 1859 by Frederick Edwin Church. And he was a descendant of Richard Church, who was the Puritan pioneers from England to America. They accompanied Thomas Hooker on the original journey to the wilderness from Mass to Hartford, Connecticut. These guys were like very devout Protestants. But it's very interesting, if you see this, and it's really hard to see on this screen, right here, he has a cross, and at the foot of the cross, there's a little boy kneeling at the foot of the cross in the heart of the Andes. And I could say, this man has a gift. If you look at the original, it's on canvas, and the detail is phenomenal. I stayed up one night with my son in bed, and we were zooming in and out of this painting, and we were looking at the fine detail. Over here, there's some flowers, and there's a bird, and my son, being the kid he is, I have no clue how he did it. He's like, oh, that's a such and such such, and I was like, what are you talking about? No way. So sure enough, I Google whatever he said, which is some bird I'd never heard of before in my life, and sure enough, the painting of the bird is exactly that bird that he named. Like, my son has a gift with animals. He'll go out in the woods and he'll catch a skunk. I had to bring one up 5 miles up the road and release it recently because we were trying to relocate it. This man, Frederick Edwin Church, he has a gift of painting, right? So much so, people went and they paid when he put this on display, they paid a nickel to see it. In the 1800s, that's a lot of money. He then sold it for $10,000. It was the most prized painting in the States at the time. 6 feet by 10 feet long. And the detail is awesome. Google it. It's called The Heart of the Andes. As he grew up, he ended up taking trips to Quito, Ecuador later in his life. He was stricken as he got older with rheumatoid arthritis, and it reduced his ability to paint. So you know what he did? He learned to paint with his left hand. He didn't stop the gift that God gave him just because of conditions and circumstances and things that were going on in his life. He said, I'm going to overcome the circumstances and the situations. I'm going to get through these things in my life. So I'll learn to paint with my left hand. You know what? God has given each one of us various gifts and talents. And he wants us to sometimes grin and bear it through life. And he wants us to use our gifts and to glorify God. And he wants us to use our gifts and he wants us to help other people. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. And Sarah, you can go to the next slide. And this is a verse that we're very familiar with. And we sometimes will say, isn't this really like someday if we all stand before God, isn't this one of the lines we want to hear God speak to us. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So I just want to read this portion, Matthew, and we're going to start in verse 14 and go to 23. Matthew 25, 14 to 23. The parable of the talents. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another, two, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the Lord, and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Verse 20. "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.'" Verse 23. "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" And we kind of know how the story goes, right? So the next servant comes before him, and he took it, and he hid it, and there's no profit in it. And he says, I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the ground. And you know what? Pastor Morris said many, many times to us, fear can paralyze a man. But faith challenges us to go forward. Fear paralyzes, but faith mobilizes. That's the word I was trying to think of. And we are not, as Christians, we are not to live in fear. And we are not saying this as a works base. Don't get me wrong, because people will take these things and they'll take it out of context and say, "Oh, it's works." It's not works. We live a life of faith, and our faith mobilizes us, and the love of God constrains us, that we grab a hold of what God is doing in our lives individually and in our lives corporately, and we go forward in life by faith. But at the same time, we see Matt Larkin singing with his daughter Anna, and we're blessed, because he's taking what God has given him, and he's using it, and he's blessing all of us. Use your gifts and talents wisely and glorify God. I was thinking about, what do I like? We could all kind of ask ourselves that a little bit, right? Matt loves to sing. Ronnie loves to sing and play the guitar. Anna loves to sing. Sarah likes to paint. What was his name? Frederick Church likes to paint, right? Different people have different things that they enjoy. And then if I think about, what is a hobby I have or something I really enjoy, then I could almost flip that and say, okay, how can I use that to glorify God? We used to take our teenagers down to Albany, to the city mission. And if you're one who likes to cook, you like to bake, or if you just like to serve, if you call them ahead of time, you can set up times where you can volunteer. And we would take our teens, we had about 40, 45 teens, and we would have to cut it into groups. I think it was 15 or 20 was the most you could bring at a time. And we would go down to the city mission. And a lot of the kids, they just had this heart where they just wanted to serve in the city mission. So we went down to the city mission, and we would help them prep beforehand in the kitchen. And then we would go out, and they had like this line, and all the you stand in the line, and you put on the hat and the gloves, and then you serve all the people that are coming in from the city mission their food. And then you go, when that's all done, then you go in the back and you help kind of just clean up and take care of all this stuff. You know what? It was just, they had the heart at the time. Something they wanted to do as the teens was they just wanted to go down to the city mission and they wanted to help serve. They used those little things in their lives so that they had a heart after God. They wanted to serve in the city mission. And they went down to Albany City Mission. We would call, we would set up appointments. They'd give you a block of a time, a number of people you could bring, and you would just go down there and you would serve. Something else I was thinking of was, and it goes back to the music. I'm going to hit the music a lot tonight, I guess. Sanji Chaplin, she was a teenager. We'd go up to the streets of Saratoga, and we would go on, you know, on the streets, and we'd be preaching, and we'd have Sanji and a couple other teenagers, and they'd just start singing. I told Anna I'm going to do this with her when she's older, of course, if mom and dad allows. You go in the streets of Saratoga, and they would just start singing. And people would gather around, and they would just be blessed by young people singing and the various songs that they would do. And then, you know, when they finished the song, you would step out, the youth pastor, the pastor, the evangelist, whoever it may be, and you had a small crowd, 5 people, 8 people, 10 people, and you could give the gospel. Jesus Christ loves you. God has a plan for you. And we had people respond to that very positively just because one young person, a teenager, would stand out on the streets of Saratoga, and we would use that, and we would evangelize. So I want to read a poem tonight. I used a poem in my last message. I'm going to use another poem tonight. Sarah, the next slide. And I use this poem like every year, multiple times a year. It's still one of my favorite. And this was written by Charles D. Meigs somewhere between 1890 and 1902. And it goes like this. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live my life like thee. Like God has given us so much. He has blessed us in so many ways. And there's so many things that we can just say, forget it. Nah. But there's also so many ways where we can say, okay, God, I'm going to wake up in the morning. What do you have for me today? All right, let's go caroling on the streets of Saratoga with a guitar and a bunch of people who half of them can't sing. Let's go. Let's go to Cross Gates where the little pretzel stand is and there's stairs and let's do a flash mob of Christmas songs. Yes, Sarah, I want to do that this winter. That's one of my on my to-do list. Matt, if you want to help me, I need some people. I want a flash mob Cross Gates where the rotating stair thing is. I always want to do that. But just to wake up and say, all right, what can I do today? How can I use what God has given me to glorify him? God has a plan for you. God has such an amazing plan for you. And he's given us so much. And we can use it to just reach out to other people. You play sports, come to Mechanicville on Friday nights from 7 till, as if you're an adult, till as long as you want to stay there with us. We do teens from 7 to 8:45. Then we kick anybody under 18 out. And then we do young adults from 9 till the wee hours as late as we possibly can. We rent the gym every Friday night, so it's ours. So we do teens, and we need adults to ref it, and then we do young adults, and really that's just we all go play ourselves at that point. That's, you know, you could ref a game. That could be a gift God gave you, and you could use it to minister to teens. We've had Josh raise your hand. Hi, Josh. Josh is fruit of Mechanicville. Dennis bumped into Josh. We were down there. We were doing evangelism. We were doing sports with Remo, right? And they bump into Josh in McDonald's parking lot. Long story short, Josh is contemplating life on his skateboard. They bump into him, evangelize him. He gets saved. He comes to teen sports. Here he is, and he's praying, thinking Bible college in January. So, like, that's amazing. We had another teen come to Camp Life from Mechanicville Sports. You just never know. You can take such simple things that God has given you. Maybe you have a gift and you really like baking. And there's people in the church and they're home and they're sick and you bake them, you cook them a meal or bake them some cookies and you bring it to them. Like you just used something God has given you and you are blessing other people with it. That's awesome. All right, the next one. Slide 5 is another painting, and it's the story we all know, the Good Samaritan. So I wanted to read this story tonight, and I wanted to talk about compassion a little bit. So this is in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And the question I want to ask while I read this is, who is my neighbor, right? Because that's ultimately what this whole parable played off of, is that question. Who is my neighbor? Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, speaking to Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So, right, he knows the law. He knows the scripture. He kind of pats himself on the back. I got the answer. I know this one. Hoorah, hoorah for me. I got it. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, so you know, in his heart, something was burning in this man's heart because he needed Jesus to explain this a little more to him. So he asked this great question. And he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Like so the painting. "Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." It's very interesting, right? These are two men, you would think, two men of God. But yet, they saw the Samaritan in the street, and they pass by. You can kind of see in the background of the painting, they're passing by, they're going on their way. And remember, this is Jesus really responding to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, by chance, a certain priest, I'll just hit this part again. "Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three, now Jesus asked the question, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? Isn't it amazing that he didn't just take care of him and give him food and drink, but then he also put him on his animal and he brought him to the inn. Then not only did he give him food and drink and take care of him and then put him on his own animal and take him to the inn, but now he gives the innkeeper extra money to take care of the man a few more days. So you can imagine when he's asking this question, who is my neighbor? Jesus' reply is go that extra mile in life sometimes. When we're wondering, what can I do? You know what? Sometimes it's simple. It's compassion. Compassion in life will go the extra distance. Where the world often will leave people lying in the ditch, where the world will often not care or say, ah, that's not my problem, or I'm not going to take care of other people. I'm not going to deal with that. Jesus says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And then he says, look at this story. The man who had compassion. And he said to him, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. I know Pastor Moore, I think on Monday afternoons in nursing home, and Ron, are you nursing? Is it Monday afternoons? In nursing home. You know what? That's like such compassion. If you're unsure, what can I do for God? I have nothing. You know what? Ask Ron if you can visit a nursing home with him. Because if you show compassion to one elderly person, if they smile because you walked in the door, you just showed them compassion. You, just in that, are glorifying God because you're responding to the love of God. God has given you so much grace. And then you go and you take that grace and you bestow it on other people and you love other people. And God says, hey, that's what I want. Who is my neighbor? All these people you are showing compassion on, all these people you see who need a little help, that lady who's homesick and you're bringing over dinner for them, lasagna, and you're blessing her because she can't get out of bed and she has 2 kids she needs to take care of. The young adults, my wife had this one time, she got this like weird pinched nerve in her neck and down her back, and she was like half dead on our couch for days. And the young adult, Sarah is one of them, they came and like basically lived at my house so I could still go to work every day. And they were taking care of the house and making meals and helping her out and just doing all of the different things. And you know what? That was a gift that they all had. They had a gift of helps. They had a gift of compassion. They had a gift to serve. And they blessed my wife forever, for eternity. So let's go to the next slide. This is just various things that our church does that I had on my iPhone really quick. I was like looking for a handful of pictures. This has been one of our hardest things is we're trying to put together a church slideshow of pictures, and it's really difficult. But this one up here is us on... Let's see. Yep, this one is the streets of Troy doing sketchboard. This one over here is Anna and Cassandra. They were in the park one day, and I asked them if they would sing, and a bunch of us went and gathered around them, and they sang worship songs in Saratoga Park. Kayla, that's your wedding right there. That's the prayer before the meal. The other corner is also Troy, my kids, and Taylor's kids playing with some others. And the bottom corner is sketchboard when Pastor Chris Armin was here this summer and we did outreach in Congress Park. I think this is the kids singing for Father's Day, and more sketchboard in Troy. And this is when we had baby Abigail's birthday party here in the church. Like, you never know where God will use you. You never know where he's going to use you or what he's going to do. But just be available, be led by the Spirit of God, that he has a plan for you. And he has given us so much. And be available that when the Spirit leads in the right things, in the right times, that you just say, yes, God. Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. Here am I, God, that you will increase, John 3:30, and I will decrease. That there will be more of you in my life and less of me. And that I will just live for you. And every day I can use the gifts and the talents and the various things that you gave me. And I can use them to glorify God. And I can use them to help others. I can use them in compassion for the lost. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says this. Colossians 3:23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Just kind of, that's like a fresh reminder, right? When we live for God and we're serving other people, really, we're just glorifying God in everything we do. I was in the hallway and there was a bunch of men around and we were talking, and the Gill chaplain came up. And they were talking about when they moved Paul Moore's ramp on his house, the handicap accessible ramp. And they said it was like one of the hottest, sunniest days. And all of these guys were out and around, and they said Gil was just like a workhorse, taking things apart, putting things together, moving things. And they were saying he doesn't even say a word. He just out there in the sun, working as hard as he can, hard for the Lord, for God, serving, helping build this handicap wheelchair accessible ramp, taking one down, putting one together. And they were saying, man, he's like such a quiet, hardworking, humble man. And some of the guys are like, he works harder than I've ever worked in my life. Like, they were just like building him up, and he wasn't even in the circle at the time. And I just thought about that, like, you know what? Anything he does it heartily. He does it all out. He does it all for God. And you know what? He blesses people with his life. Be a person that you just live for God. Be a person that we've received grace, that you give grace. Be a person that you realize you have some gifts and you realize you have some talents, and then ask yourself, okay, how can I use this to glorify God? What can I do? Whether it, you know, in the church, it could be nursery, it could be ushers, it could be counters, it could be whatever, or on the streets of Saratoga, or in the city missions, or nursing home, or wherever it may be. God has given you something wonderful. God has a plan for you. God cares for you. He wants you to just respond to his love. And again, not works. We're not saying works. We're just saying God loves us. He constrains us. And then we respond by faith to his love. And we bless other people. Who is my neighbor? Talk to the guy sitting on the side of the road. Who is my neighbor, right? All right, why don't we go back to the first verse, and then we'll pray and close. I'm going to read in 1 Peter. I'm going to start in verse 7 and work right back to verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, serving for God's glory. That's what this section is titled in my Bible. Says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. And again, God has given us grace. so much grace. Let's be those that go into the world and give other people grace. Let's be those that go into the world and give the things that God has given us. Let's pray. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you for this night. Thank you that you have a plan for each one of our lives. Thank you that you have given us so much, Lord. Thank you for grace. Father, help us to be those that take your grace and go shine it into the world. Help us to be those that grasp your love and go give your love to others. Help us to see the gifts, the talents, the things that you've given to each one of us, and to then turn around and use them to glorify you, Lord, and to help others. Father, thank you for each person here tonight. Father, thank you for your great grace. We need greater grace, Lord. And Father, we need to give this lost, dark, dying world your greater grace. Father, help us to be wise. Help us to be discerning. And that we use our time and we bless, Lord, the lost in this world. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If you're unsure if you're a child of God, if you're unsure if you're here tonight or you're listening on the internet, if you're unsure if you're a child of God and you want to be sure, just by a simple prayer of faith, you can ask Jesus to come into your life and live. And just between you and God, say, Jesus, come into my life and live. I want to be your child. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Come into my life and live. I want to be your child. And if you prayed that and you prayed it for the first time, reach out to me, Pastor Moore, reach out to us so we can reach back, so we can give you a Bible, so we can build you up, so we can encourage you. Father, thank you for each person in this room tonight. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.